Who loves a weak dollar?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Apple is once again the talk of the markets today. The company reported earnings that topped Wall Street forecasts thanks to record iPhone and Mac sales last quarter. Apple said it was not helped by the weakness of the dollar, but a number of companies reporting earnings today might tell a different story. We're joined by Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson, live in New York. Good morning.
Morning, Bill.
What companies are we hearing from today?
Well, a number of multinational corporations, including five companies that make up part of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Those are Coca-Cola, DuPont, Pfizer, United Technologies, and Caterpillar. Now, they're all, of course, very different companies. But as a whole, we might be able to get from them a sense of whether these incredible earnings that we saw from Apple and that we saw from some of the big banks last week spread across other industries as well.
So, Jeremy, Apple says it's not being pushed along and helped by the weak dollar. What's different about these companies reporting today?
Well, I just spoke with Howard Wieldon, who is a senior currency strategist at BGC Partners in London, and he says what a lot of people are saying right now about this, that the weak dollar is being very helpful to U.S. multinationals, just as weak currencies helped Asian countries export their way out of the financial crisis there a decade ago.
It is a get-out-of-jail-free card, if I can use such an awful cliche, and it will do for the U.S. this time round. However, there are limits. We suspect that if the dollar does continue to fall, the U.S. will pay a much heavier price.
Always have to end things with a dire warning, Bill. But
yes.
I think today, if there is a benefit from the weak dollar, these companies are not going to be complaining.
Jeremy Hobson, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Now let's do the numbers. European markets are down less than 0.5% this morning. Asian stocks were mostly higher. Yesterday, Wall Street did it again, with the Dow rising 96 points and closing at 10,092. Today, the Kaiser Family Foundation will hold a briefing on what it calls the sleeper issue of the healthcare overhaul, bills in the House and Senate that would let you pay for long-term care through voluntary payroll deductions. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer says the plan would shift some of the burden of paying for long-term care from the government to individuals.
The legislation is called the Community Living Assistance Services and Supports Act, or the CLASS Act. Workers would agree to a payroll deduction of $123 per month. After contributing for 5 years, they could start drawing benefits. Paul Vandewater is an economist with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. He says the legislation would help people better afford long-term care.
You know, give people a widely recognized, easier way of starting to make provision for their own future needs.
Kind of like Social Security, except it would be voluntary. And there's the rub.
People, frankly, are just not planning that far ahead.
J.C. Scott is a lobbyist for the insurance industry. He says it would be hard to get young, healthy people to participate. And Scott says the CLASS Act wouldn't pay for itself and would eventually be short hundreds of billions of dollars. Economist Vandewater says premium hikes would keep the program solvent. Not a perfect plan, he says, but better than no plan at all. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. ProduceMoreConserveMore.com.
Book sales are flat or even down these days, but one of the best-selling genres since the 1990s has been so-called chick lit. You know the books, the ones with the pink high heel on the cover and stories about shopping for the perfect man and the perfect shoes to go with him. Marketplace's Eve Tro says lately the prime audience for those stories is not feeling so footloose.
It started with Bridget Jones and her diary.
Daily call from Jude, best friend, head of investment at Breitling's Bank, who spends most of her time trapped in the ladies' toilet crying over boyfriend.
The 1996 book was a bestseller. The 2001 movie grossed more than $280 million. By 2006, the New York Times Review of Books declared a chick-lit pandemic. Books like Confessions of a Shopaholic and In Her Shoes sold millions of copies. The 30-something heroines with their high-paying jobs and high-limit credit cards spent their way through their troubles. Now, the recession's hit, and the ladies of Chick Lit are feeling the pinch. Publishers Weekly deputy editor Jonathan Segura says the stories have to change.
To not address it is one thing, but to have a book that sort of flies in the face of what's actually happening is a whole thing altogether.
Author Sarah Bilston wrote Sleepless Nights last year. It's about a corporate lawyer juggling work and a new baby. Before it was released in the U.S. this summer,
I read the first page again, having not read it for about 4 months, and my heart sank.
It described a glitzy party with people talking about lavish vacations.
By about page 200, my head was in my hands.
Bilston rewrote whole chapters of the book. Wall Street lawyers traded swagger for anxiety. The heroine's choice between work and family got harder.
When difficulties strike, characters do have to think on their feet, and I think it makes them actually a lot more vibrant.
Another author, Sarah Strohmeyer, didn't have to rewrite. She saw disaster coming and wrote The Penny Pinchers Club.
People weren't at jobs earning enough to make the mortgage payments. You knew something had to give.
Her heroine starts buying in bulk and dumpster diving. Strohmeyer says Chick Lit is really about strong women, not just glamour. And a job loss or foreclosure gives those women a chance to triumph.
First thing you're going to do if you're a true Chick Lit person is you're going to say, I can do it. All I have to do is get myself looking good, get my friends, and figure out how we're going to handle this. And somewhere along the way, you're going to meet some guy.
A new catchphrase to describe these stories is already bubbling up. Recessionista Lit. In Los Angeles, I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, a website called Serious Eats New York raises a serious debate. Is it okay for a deli to charge you extra to toast your bagel? Those in favor say bagel toasters keep everyone else waiting and they should pay. Those opposed say bagels and toasting belong together and charging extra is evil. Go ahead, ask your partner. It might start a good family argument. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.